It is time now for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who joins us here in the studio to talk about Thanksgiving books. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy Thanksgiving
Eve. Happy Thanksgiving, yes. What are your plans?
I'm going over the river and through the woods and up the interstate and over the state line to Grandma's house.
Awesome.
Traveling to Virginia to spend a couple days up there eating and watching football and sleeping and having someone else take care of my children.
That's good. Is that the standard Thanksgiving tradition?
Yes.
Or you go up to the same place every year?
Yeah. Every year, yes. What about you?
My family's all in Michigan, and we have kind of, we used to have a big, huge extended family get together for Thanksgiving until the extended family got too big and unwieldy, and then we kind of went our separate ways as far as family traditions go. So Thanksgiving kind of decreased in focus and importance after that, and that was like 20 years ago. So now we stay here and we go over to my our friend's place. Brad and I will go over to our friend Kristen and Charles. They have a Bojangles Thanksgiving because Bojangles, and this is a plug for Bojangles, which is now way too late for anyone to take advantage of it this year. But next year you can do this, where Bojangles will flash fry a turkey for you, and then they give it to you with all the fixings, and all you have to do is heat it up.
They just give it to you?
Well, you buy it from them. You give them money and they give you a turkey.
It's commerce.
Like it's a monetary exchange kind of deal, and then you just heat it up and it's great.
So
it's super easy compared to...
Is it like the deep fried turkey?
Yeah, exactly.
I've never had one.
It's good. It's actually not... I don't think it's all that different from like roasting a turkey in the oven. Although purists will disagree and they'll be sitting in their cars right now going, ah, fuh, 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 fuh. And probably rightly so, but it's still really good.
That's awesome. So do you guys bring anything? Desserts?
Yeah, everyone
booze,
brings...
whatever?
Yeah, someone brings desserts, someone brings booze. They have desserts and booze aplenty.
Nice.
I think we're bringing vegetables and dip or something to eat beforehand, the pre-dinner snacks, the appetizers,
there you
as
go.
It will. The things that you eat
the
in order to...
The hors d'oeuvres.
The things that you eat in order to increase your appetite, because that's how the human body works,
it's
apparently.
It's pre-gaming. It's
pre-gaming.
Thanksgiving,
yes.
Pre-gaming.
Yeah.
So I think we are one of the families who, a couple years ago, we were all like... Do you really love turkey? I don't really love turkey.
Oh.
So I think that we're not going to do a turkey. I think we're going to do like a beef tenderloin.
Okay.
You know,
that's
something
cool.
Like that.
My mom is allergic to turkey. So for traditional family Thanksgiving, we had a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
We also had usually ham is what we would go with as our second. But yeah, beef tenderloin. I think we've done prime rib in the past is also really good.
It's all good.
It's
I mean,
all good.
I will eat
indiscriminately. Yeah.
I don't have to love it. I'll still eat it.
Just like a big hunk of meat that's been stuck in the oven and roasted very slowly for 6 hours, and then you pull it out, and it's good.
I will say the one thing that I am ambivalent about and I won't eat is the cranberry sauce. I'm just not...
cranberry sauce. That is an interesting question. Like, what is your least favorite and your most favorite Thanksgiving condiment, or not condiment, but accoutrement side?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, stuffing. I'm a stuffing girl.
You're stuffing?
Oh, yeah.
All right,
all
yeah.
But cranberry sauce, whether it's from the can and still has the marks and kind of, you know, moves on its own.
That I like.
You like that?
Yeah. I'm much more of the like jelly, clearly like you open the can and you turn it over and it makes that splorp
noise,
sound
that,
as it
that
comes
great
out.
Sucking
yeah.
Sound.
Yeah. 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 I like green bean casserole. I'm always a big fan of green bean casserole, but I always come back to just like standard mashed potatoes. If it's done right with like a lot of milk and butter and whipped really good. Yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Yum. I can't wait to start eating tomorrow. And the other thing that I will say, or that I should mention before we start talking about books, is the library at Thanksgiving. So we take Thursday and Friday off, so folks should know.
Right.
But I will say, so one, if you want to come by and get books for your travels, you only have a few more hours before we close this evening to get your audio books. But also, after you've been home for 2 days with the family and the kids, it's a great place to come on the weekend when the building's open. But also, you know, if the weather's nice, we have those great trails. So come, even if the building is closed and you need a place to come with family for a post-prandial walk, perhaps. I know, right?
A post what?
Prandial.
Prandial?
I'm pretty sure I'm using that right.
I know. I cannot possibly challenge you.
After dinner, after eating. I believe so.
Post-prandial.
If not, I will have mashed potatoes on my
face. Then you just coined a phrase and it's all good. Yeah. Shakespeare did it and now you too.
That's right. Yeah. You can walk the trails at Explore More. There's a whole thing for kids there. There's lots of things to do. So even when the building is closed, we welcome folks to come by. And
it should be a nice day
around
on Thursday too.
I think so. Yeah. And they're easy trails. It's a great way to sort of post-game the Thanksgiving meal. So you can walk off some so that you're ready to eat more when you go back home.
Yes.
Eat more leftovers.
Post-prandial, pre-dessert.
There you go.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay.
All right.
So let's talk about books.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. You first.
I brought three books.
Good.
All about food, all of them nonfiction.
All right.
Not super creative, but there you go. So the first one that I want to talk about is a book that came out in 2011. And so I was thinking about Thanksgiving and birds and whether you cook a turkey or a chicken or a turducken, perhaps.
Of course, yeah.
It made
or a tofurkey, if that's your thing.
A tofurkey, right?
Yes.
This is actually the opposite of tofurkey, this
yeah.
book.
Yeah, okay.
So this is a book called The Foie Gras Wars, How a 5,000...
Yep, that's the opposite of a tofurkey.
That's right. The Foie Gras Wars, How a 5,000-year-old delicacy inspired the world's fiercest food fight. So this is a book for people, if you yourself or you know people who like, you know, binge watch Top Chef mm-hmm. and read all like Food Network and have all the subscriptions to all the food magazines and can name the beard winners for the last 10 years, this book is for them. It's about this time, Charlie Trotter, who's a very famous restaurateur in Chicago, declared that he was going to stop serving foie gras.
Yes, I remember that, actually.
Yes,
that was a big deal.
And then there was a little back and forth with the food writer in the area who made a crack about maybe they should be eating his liver. And it was this whole food media mess. And so the book starts with
now that. It's a whole thing with Gene. Yeah.
And then it sort of delves into the sort of the ethics of eating meat, the ethics of foie gras, the history of foie gras, the modern food scene, all of this. It's a really great book. And I would say when I read it, I felt like it did what Fox News purports to do, which is fair and balanced. I felt like it really presented both points of view. And it was a really interesting read. And I've only had foie gras like a handful of times.
I've only had it once in my life. It was in Chicago. I went to like gourmet hot dog place and got a foie gras hot dog, which was really good. And afterwards,
wow.
It was great. And then afterwards, I read about what foie gras actually was. And I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't eat this anymore. Well, I've had it once and I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
So what is your take on foie gras after having read the book?
So I've
it's
had
fair
it a couple
and balanced,
of times.
So,
it's delicious.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it's delicious. I can't say I've had it since I read the book, but that may not be because of the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I still struggle with it. I mean, yeah.
It's tough.
I don't know. And it's been around forever, like delves into the whole thing about it. But then once you read, and there are some sort of, I air quotes, ethical foie gras producers.
Yeah,
there's a couple of places.
Yeah.
So I don't have a great answer for you, but it's a really, really good book. The Foie Gras Wars. The author is Mark Caro, C-A-R-O.
Awesome.
What
so this
got?
Is not mm-hmm. necessarily one of those books where you read the book and it's supposed to like steer you away, but you've just spent the last 200 pages reading about this thing, so now you want nothing more than to eat it.
Right. And it's not like Fast Food Nation or any
okay.
of those like super preachy. It really does, I believe, present both sides of it. And it's and it really delves into all kinds of things. Like modern restaurants, the whole foodie culture, all of it. So
yeah,
it's good stuff.
That's cool. So I had this experience when I watched Super Size Me.
Mm-hmm.
I really now never eat fast food, but even back when I watched the movie, I very rarely ate fast food. So I watched this movie and literally the next day I'm driving around like, I really want McDonald's. So I'm pulling into
Mac, right?
Yeah, pulling into the McDonald's like, man, Morgan, you failed.
Right?
Haven't eaten it since, but that one day. So, okay, so I'm going back to just sort of Thanksgiving itself. And the story that we tell, like the typical story that we tell about Thanksgiving, is pretty much all incorrect. So you want to get the real story. So National Geographic has put this book out called 1621, A New Look at Thanksgiving, which is, I think, for all ages or for most ages. It's a picture book. They've got, you know, it's very like glossy pages and very fun visually to read, but it tells, again, fair and balanced, tells the story of what the first Thanksgiving actually was and what it entailed and what the history and the sociology of it and everything that had happened up to the first Thanksgiving. And it tells a more accurate version of the story than the story that we teach our kids when they're 6 years old.
Right.
So good perspective, and it's a fun read, too.
And it's National Geographic,
yes.
So their books are great. And so thinking about that, it also makes me think of, you know, the story of Thanksgiving that we learned as kids, we now know is very different. You know,
right.
Books like this and a fresh approach to history have taught us that. But one thing that is the same, the school activity that you do with the handprint turkey.
Never
every year,
change.
Kids
yeah.
gonna bring that home, and it's adorable.
Because the human hand, if you trace it, still looks like a turkey, and until that changes,
right. Exactly,
they're gonna keep doing that.
Okay, so the next book that I want to recommend, I was thinking, you know, there's this focus. Thanksgiving is all about traditional recipes and family recipes and heritage recipes and all of that. So I wanted to recommend a book by Mark Kurlansky, who's written several of these books called Micro Histories. He wrote the book called Salt, which... Mm-hmm. was a history of salt. He wrote one called Cod that was
yes.
the history of cod. He's a wonderful writer. And this is one of his lesser known books. It's called The Food of a Younger Land, A Portrait of American Food from the Lost WPA Files. So the deal with this book is he uncovered, so in the Great Depression, there were many of these make work projects. Mm-hmm. So there was the, you know, all kinds of public history project and the writers project. So this was a project for authors called America Eats. And they sent writers out to chronicle the eating habits and traditions of the whole country. So in this, he has dug into those and then writes about these old recipes and the whole culture of the food, like laundromat things where you could put it, like the food mats where you
right.
could put in a quarter and get out like a roast beef sandwich,
yes, yes.
and all of that from the 30s. There's even like recipes for things that we just don't eat anymore,
uh-huh.
like beaver tail and all kinds of things. But it's really, really interesting. So it's sort of a socioeconomic glimpse into Depression era history, and it's just a really great book.
That's
so if you
fun.
Have people that love food writing and these old recipes, even though we may never make them anymore, it's a really good book.
I love just the history of food in America, and this is something that I've never really gotten into very much, but I just growing up after Julia Child emerges as this major figure, you don't really know just how significant she was. Right? It's like everyone made everything with aspic and gelatin in the 50s and 60s, and then Julia Child comes along and says, you know, you can make things good. And like, it's just a complete 180 from there on out. But like the history of how Americans made food and the history
yeah.
of like how all that happened with the food mats and everything else. Like,
yeah.
That's fascinating
and
stuff.
And this book too, we were talking about Super Size Me. So this
yeah.
is a portrait of the country well before the first
right.
McDonald's, any chain restaurant. This is totally local, regional, you know, mom and pop kinds of places. It's a great,
right.
great book.
Cool. I got nothing else. What else you got?
I got one more.
Great. Go for it.
Speaking of Julia Child.
Uh-huh.
So
see how
I
segued?
I know,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Thinking about how, yes, some people focus on heritage recipes and they spend days and days in the kitchen. Some people buy theirs from Bojangles,
yes.
no shame in that. And then some people are the sort of like convenience cooks. They're somewhere in the middle, like the green bean casserole with the, you know, mushroom soup
right.
and the French fried onions.
French
so I was thinking
yeah.
About that, and that made me think of another great book, sort of the flip side. Well, peer colleague to Julia Child, but from a different, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm just going to say the title of the book. The title of the book is Finding Betty Crocker, The Secret Life of America's First Lady of Food.
Oh, nice.
So this is a book, if you like food writing, food history, and the sort of history of advertising. So this is all about the creation of this fictional persona of Betty Crocker.
Because Betty Crocker was not real, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Duncan Hines was a real person. Betty Crocker was not.
Right.
I always get those two confused.
So Betty Crocker was sort of born, quote unquote, in the 20s, and they chose the first name to just feel all American and average. And then Crocker was the name of one of the like big wigs at the ad firm or something. And this is a whole history of how they came up with her, of the brand, of convenience cooking. I think it's in this book, there's a great part about how at one point they made the cake mixes too easy. Or that might be in the book about Duncan Hines, where like all it was,
I've heard about this,
was like add water and people stopped buying them because they wanted to crack the eggs and melt the butter.
They want to feel like they're doing something. Yeah.
So this is a great book. Again, if you like food writing, history, and especially sort of marketing and advertising, Finding Betty Crocker by Susan Marks is a great book.
You know, there's some woman who was born in the 20s named Elizabeth Crocker who just had to grow up and live with that name her entire life.
Well, I am married to James Brown, so I get it.
Yeah.
I totally get that. So anyways, those are my recommendations, all nonfiction about food.
Awesome.
And they've made me hungry. And so I got to go get on the
pregame
road. And pregame.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks.